Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I'm Koji Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. My guest, David Gonahasa, is a Ugandan tech entrepreneur and founder of Tripsio, a Shopify-like tool that seeks to help small and medium tourism businesses in Africa digitalize their operations to support tourism development. Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and my guest is David Gonahasa, Managing Director of Roundbob. Hello, David.
Hello. Hi, Kojo. Thank you very much for having me.
Yes. How is COVID treating you?
I was quickly saying I like that you got my name pronunciation right. You know, COVID was one of those very unprecedented events. You know, when COVID started, we saw a lot of our business get wiped out, especially with the Roundbob online booking platform. We went through the phase of panic and then went through eventual acceptance. And started to rethink how we were approaching our business. What's interesting is that we had actually began a complete business pivot around September last year, and we decided to actually rebrand the business from Roundbob by leveraging that experience to change it to Tripsio.
But look, hi David. Yeah. Even before we go, can we begin from who is David? You know, and Roundbob, and what you do. And then we can get a conversation going to what you guys are doing to change the travel and tourism industry in terms of IT.
Okay. So do you want to start again? Sorry.
No. Go ahead. No. You started, but then just went straight into what you guys are changing and all of that. But who is David? What have you been doing? I know you are with Roundbob. What is the evolution that you're going through now?
Yeah, so my name is David Gonahasa. I've been in tourism for the last 7 years, I think. Before that, I worked in mobile payments, and then I worked across seven African markets trying to grow a company called MobiCash Africa. Okay. And I found tourism to be one of those. It actually was by accident that I entered tourism, because I entered tourism more because I had quit my job and I was figuring out what direction to take next. And, you know, we went on to build this pretty cool online travel agency called Roundbob. We grew it, you know, very quickly as a brand, got named Most Innovative Achiever of the Year in Uganda in 2017. And I think I fell in love with tourism and I saw the potential that, that tourism could have on the African market. And I think that's really why I'm in tourism.
Okay. And then, you started with Roundbob, and I think the first time we met was in Madrid during the
UNWTO
Tech Adventures. Take us through that.
Yes.
What you learned from there and all that.
I think that was a great time. What's interesting is even before I get to 2019 and the tourism tech adventures and the conversations with you and WTO, I think what's really exciting is how all this started. I remember going to when I started the business in 2013. I went to Dubai to the Arabian travel market purely because I found this online. I was trying to find suppliers. What's interesting was I was in Dubai and I'm walking to a number of agent stalls and I'm saying, we want to do outbound from Africa, right? And many of these guys were just saying, what? Outbound from Africa doesn't happen. They didn't see it as a viable, business.
Yeah.
And I literally keep going to different stalls and just begging them to say, listen, can you give us some packages? Can we start reselling, some of these markets? And we achieved quite a bit of growth in the Ugandan market. And we're running a very interesting model. So what our model was we were allowing customers to pay installments for their travel or save money and buy travel to future dates. And this was both inbound and outbound. And we saw some really cool things happening where we saw you know, inbound and domestic travel happening really around, you know, parties and events. And we had this really cool event called Cocktails in the Wild. We took 350 people to a national park. It was the first time this happened. And these were majorly, you know, Ugandan, young Ugandan corporate people. This was in 2015, I think. So as this kept growing, as we began to validate our platform more and more and the business kept growing, we had some very interesting opportunities. You know, like I said, we began traveling to Indaba regularly. We began traveling to the Africa travel market as well in Cape Town and building networks. But this also showed us the potential for the industry. So when we applied to the UNWTO Tourism Tech Adventures, and this was in partnership with Auda Nepal. So we get into Spain, and this is when Kojo, you and I first met, and we, you know, this was a great opportunity to actually showcase the fact that there's great tech, potentially great tech from Africa and tech in the tourism space. And yeah, we pitched that and won. We were named the winner of that competition. And after that, it was, you know, very interesting because we went back and did a program with IE Business School in Segovia. This was something called the Social Innovators Retreat. But what happened was, you know, this actually made me completely change my mind about so many things I thought, because it came down to, can you turn your business into a vehicle for social good, for social impact, right? You're still maintaining, you know, the fact that it's a business at the core in every possible way, but you seem to be thinking what your problem is. You know, you're told that a business starts with a problem, right? And for us, we decided to say, you know, what if we got tourism to try and solve the unemployment problem in Africa? You know, and this is sort of what we began to sort of pivot the business into. So it's been a very interesting journey, just, you know, from where we started. We actually did spend 2 weeks with Alibaba at doing something called the Alibaba E-Commerce Fellowship, right? And what this showed us was how strong technology can be in creating, you know, social good or positive social impact. Because what Alibaba did basically was create millions, hundreds of millions of jobs by enabling, you know, small traders be able to be visible and sell their products to the world. And I think the same comes for Africa and African tourism is, you know, can we be a tool to create visibility for the agents, to create, you know, tools for agents to be able to grow their businesses? So it's been a lot of support from so many organizations. And I think I must say I'm very grateful to the UNWTO and how much they've supported our work to get to where we are today.
And let's stay on Roundbop a bit. And what did you learn? I mean, you talked about how you know it gave you a different perspective about how we can use tourism as a vehicle for social good or your business, and yeah. And then you came to, I mean, you're now moving from Roundbop to Tripsio and all of that.
Yeah. So it pretty much is the same thing, right? Like I said, when we started Roundbop, we primarily wanted to help the middle class Ugandan, and we had the plans to scale across the continent. I listened to an interview I did a couple of years, and you know, I remember sharing how ambitious our plans were. And we did fairly okay, to be honest, because we managed to get, you know, I think over 4,000 people traveling in Uganda alone. We really opened up, you know, package travel, low cost package travel in this market. Today, there's so many other companies doing the same things we were doing. We were quite early when we started. And I think for us, it was, we realized we were just becoming, I'm sorry to use this word, we were another online travel agency in a market crowded with so many players. We were at just another way, basically giving the market, you know, more reason to travel, which was a great thing. But what we saw was we were seeing so much outbound travel coming out of our efforts. And I think the experiences we had made us question, you know, how do we do things differently? How do we build a business that not only generates substantial revenue and return to its shareholders, but is also able to create, you know, a very positive change in tourism? So when we did Roundbop, we realized a couple of things. One, we struggled with managing the marketplace primarily because not many agents had the digital skills to be able to manage online platforms or online, you know, packaging and putting up all such technology. We also learned that it's a very small number of people, unfortunately, of leisure inbound tourists coming into some of the African countries. So you realize a country like Uganda receives about, the number is about 1.4 million arrivals, right? This is, you can't compare this to any European country. However, if you look at the number of people going to the national parks, foreign tourists going to the national parks are only about 95,000 annually. And the foreign residents are about another 50,000 or thereabouts. So it's about 150,000 foreigners going to these national parks. And it begs the question, you know, how do you make these parks more sustainable? How do you make these parks actually make more money? Because they are the primary or flagship tourism product. So we just realized that there was a lot more opportunity out there for us, or a lot more problems for us to try and solve in terms of trying to increase numbers, in terms of trying to increase domestic tourism, in terms of trying to increase the trickle-down effect of tourism on communities. Because we also realized that whenever we send a tourist to a national park, they would never really spend anything in any time in the community, because they'll just drive from the city to the park in a nice air-conditioned vehicle, stay in a nice lodge in the national park, never spend any time in the community, just do the activities as they're laid out, and then drive back. The food at the lodge is bought from the city, right? So there's just so much, I think there's so much more that can be done, and sort of this is what VED advised our pivot, and I'll probably be explaining that to you as well.
You mentioned that as part of the homegrown solution, i.e. from the African point of view, what do you bring on board differently, you know, to, now that we are seeing that digital tools or IT will be part of our setup in terms of tourism. What is it that makes Tripsio unique, that it can be able to address African problems with your, as an African?
First of all, I'll explain to you what Tripsio does, right? So Tripsio is, we're trying to be the Shopify for tourism. You know, that's the easiest explanation I can actually give, right? And what we're doing is basically building a tool to take away all the technological limitations that tourism agents have to prosper, right? So I'll give you a scenario. A small agent in around a national park in Uganda, let's say around Gwidi National Park where the gorillas are, that whole market is dominated by larger agents who are able to create visibility online of the products or packages that they're selling. They can be able to market those tools. They have very nice systems to send professional, create professional packages, receive inquiries and manage those inquiries. Now, a small agent, and this is true for very many agents, first of all, he's struggling with just building a website, okay, because it needs to be visible. He has no online payments enabled to be able to, he can accept online payments. He has no tracking system to actually monitor the status of his inquiries, be able to respond to clients on time, and they fail many times. So what we've done is build a system that basically takes all that away. It helps agents create fully functional e-commerce websites. They can have their own template or standard templates. It helps them accept payments online. It helps them create packages. It helps them accept bookings, track those bookings, manage their CRM, and basically run the whole digital elements of their business. Now, it also comes to appreciating what digital does for a tourism business. One, digital will help you be visible. It will help you be seen. Two, digital channels will help you manage how you run your business, manage how you send send packages or offers to clients. It will help you manage how you respond to those clients. It will help you track the efficiency of your team. Because if you're able to track all your inquiries, if you're dropping inquiries, then you kind of understand where is the weak point of your team. So it just basically helps you run your business better. Now, if that is solved in itself, it's very big for Africa. It means that there's so much more digital content out there that can be aggregated into marketplaces and all these things. I explained to you the problem that we had with Roundbob previously, where we struggled with how do we get the agents to keep uploading products. So with Tripsio, it basically means that very many people are able to digitalize their products and get online. Tripsio also extends to your non-typical tourism agents. Imagine how many times your grandfather or father tells you, yes, I want to start accepting visitors for my small farm project or my my small village project. Again, a tool like this is able to help people like that basically start, you know, packaging experiences or products, put them online on their websites, receive bookings, distribute them to third-party marketplaces. I mean, you see companies like Airbnb are selling experiences, but they have very little African content because not a lot of it is professionally digitalized. So Tripsio solves that problem. You asked a very interesting question as well. You say, you know, what does it mean for Africa? One of the saddest things is some of the platforms that run most of the bookings in Africa are not African platforms, which means there's so much money leaving the continent because these companies take up to 25% of your booking revenue. If we run African booking platforms, if we're able to digitalize this content locally, just imagine how much more money gets to stay on the continent. Not just from a revenue perspective to the agents, but even the tax perspective. So digital basically helps us, will help us bring this entire industry together, be able to create visibility for a lot of available products, drive bookings, but also create the data that is required for this industry to grow.
Okay, interesting. So how do you think that agencies like the tourism boards, supply chain, all of that, can be able to leverage on tools like this? Because now we've come to understand that going forward, digital will be the thing to drive our you know, the industry. But the challenge is sometimes is the fact that often than not, you know, you hear complaints from people like you that there's no cooperation or collaboration either from the National Tourism Agency or the suppliers or even the people, the traditional people. How do people understand that if he wants to share an experience, like, you know, in the form of homestay, how do you, are you able to explain to them for them to understand that it's not people just coming to the privacy or, you know, issues of privacy, data, etc. How do you navigate that problem? Because then people are, you know, these days data is also important of people's data, and then the confidentiality. How do you manage all of that?
So what's interesting, and I will go into the question around collaboration in a second, but just to speak about the whole data issue. So the way Tripsio actually works, and I, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm just, you know, making a bunch of plugs here, but the way Tripsio works is it's basically giving the agent the tools and platform to run this independently. Okay? So the data belongs to the agent or the owner of the property. The customer information, the customer belongs to the owner of the business, or it belongs to the agent. So we're not pooling this data on our own. So some of the bigger global marketplaces have a lot of customer data, which they use for marketing. But we think that we should look at a decentralized approach to tourism development, to digital development. Okay, why should I let all my marketing and that kind of activity run with one single sole super platform or super aggregated platform? I think I would rather own my data or my content as an agent and decide where I place it. If I want to sell it on its Airbnb or on sort of Viator, I can decide to send it to them. But then I basically own at the core. I own the platform to help me build my own you know, product and packages and information. About the tourism agencies. You know, I've decided to reconcile that, you know, what's happening with many of these agencies is that they're government individuals who have targets to meet, and the targets they have seemed to accept that they will be single-digit growth for so many years. Because it does not make sense. You know, when you look at many African tourism markets, what's been happening is the same thing for so many years. You know, you have a new CEO at a tourism board. It's the same strategy around international marketing, same strategy around the same markets. And no wonder you will normally see very, you know, very regular single-digit growth. You know, I think Rwanda is a great example of great leadership where you saw, you know, change of strategy, a huge increase of marketing budgets. And if I'm not wrong, Rwanda probably grew about 100% in tourism numbers in, I think, about a year or two. And that can be achieved across most markets. Okay? But the first and most important thing is to understand, one, we need to see diversity or diversification of the product offering. We can't all sell the safari and expect that, you know, people are going to decide to come to one country or the other. Two, we need to look at creating new flagship products that will attract the market. Three, create visibility or diversification of upsell or ancillary products, right? Because of the new flagship product, people are coming in for that, and there's a lot of other additional products around it. Now, unfortunately, we don't see very many tourism boards actually focused heavily on this. There seems to be a core focus around marketing. And I keep arguing that you can't market what you don't have, you know, unless you focus on product development effectively, unless you start to write new tourism stories and new tourism trails, you know, only then shall we start to see growth. And this is where digital tools come in. You know, I see a very strong effort towards skilling from very many of the apex bodies or regulators in the space. Unfortunately, what you're seeing is a lot of, I like to call it unfocused skilling. You know, you go to a village and say, using a megaphone and announce, we have a training for tourism people, and people come into a hotel room and yes, you have very nice conversations and then they leave and they still have no jobs. They probably will just be the same. There needs to be a direct effort towards what I call right skilling. And right skilling basically means that we identify you on the basis of a product that you have or a product that's developed, and we train you based on that product. We give you the digital tools to help you sell and grow your business, and we track your success. And based on your success, we have additional incentives to support you to even grow better. Because if you're a small agent with a unique product that's actually working, then we can say, you know what, we need to diversify your market. So we're going to take you into ITB, we'll take you to, you know, one of the huge global expos, because now you're showing you can actually make money. And if you do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, I hate to use the word crazy, but that's really what it looks like now.
Okay. Now, this is a question that I've been asking all my guests as we build back better. What is the one thing that you believe that entities like yourself can do to ensure that tourism tourism has a positive impact on the community, and what you do can be able to impact people, impact lives, economies, and then we can be able to have African grown solutions for African problems, as you wrap up?
So I like the first statement you made, African-grown solutions for African problems. So first of all, we're an African-grown solution built by Africans in Africa for African tourism. I think one of the most important things is by doing that, you have, you know, companies that actually understand the local context, companies that understand the problems of the African agent, the African customer, and are able to build solutions that work on the continent. The other thing is companies like ours basically gives a new approach to tourism development. Okay, I keep saying you can't keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. We're coming in and saying, let's use technology effectively to diversify the product offering. Let's use technology to, you know, create, you know, access to more operational data or business data to help with decision making. Let's use technology to help, you know, diversify and add onto the source markets we're working with. Let's use tech to support right skilling of tourism agents or tourism businesses. So we basically bring a new, more African look or African approach to the development of tourism. And I can tell you there's so many companies like myself across the continent, and we just need to find ways, you know, let's try something different. Let's get, you know, the new breed of entrepreneurs, the new breed of tourism development agencies to see, can we try something different and see how it works.
Thank you, David, for your time.
Thank you as well, Kodo, and thanks for having me. I will definitely be seeing you soon, I'm sure, and hopefully we're able to, you know,
connect again, we travel again.
Connect.
And then we travel better. You know how it is. Thank you so much.
Thank you.